Blog Talk Radio.
And hello, hello, yo, it is Jeremy. This is my weekly radio show, Jeremy Speaks on Everything. This is episode 6. I would like to thank you for listening, for those who are listening at the moment and those who listen as it was shared on Facebook. This past Thursday's episode was rather enlightening. Me and Mr. Rapley had a very, very spirited conversation about some things we saw and things we need to do. I want to thank him for coming on my show last Thursday. Thank you. I even got messaged by my mama at 3 o'clock in the morning and told me that we did well. So I invited him back to this Thursday's episode so we can talk about something. He actually inspired what I'm going to conversate about today. All right. And speaking of that, the call-in number is 347-994-3320. Now, normally on Tuesdays, I wouldn't like callers, but I will take one because on Tuesdays, I like to kind of get out what I've learned since the last episode. Also, these episodes of Blog Talk Radio will be posted on another channel, not my Jeremy Speaks channel. It'll be a channel I call the Negro Sports League, and immediately following this episode, there will be a video uploaded to that channel. And this radio, while this radio episode downloads and finishes buffering and getting ready for smooth playback or whatever it tells me. But I do like to give out that call-in number. Like me on Facebook. Do you like on Facebook? Yeah, like on Facebook, follow, add me on Facebook. At me on Instagram, Twitter, it's all there. Hey, I would like to speak to all my males of African origin out there in reference to last week's show. Let's start speaking to each other. Let's do more of that. Let's do more togetherness. I looked at my listens for last week, and I had 20 people listen. And I know it might not sound like much to some people, but for somebody who's just starting, knowing that I had 20 pairs of ears listen to a thought in my head, so to speak. That's what this radio show is. It's thought in my head. Like I said, this episode will be posted on my Negro Sports League channel. It's just a channel where I just do some goofy stuff. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Once again, I want to thank my 20 listeners. And today, inspired by last week's guest, I want to talk about tops in America. Touchy subject, right? Well, it is for me. I want to talk about cops. And Mr. Rapley brought it up last week, and it kind of made me wonder, well, where are the origins of the police force? Have they always been like a state government type of department, or did they have a start? So, of course, I did a little digging, which I was going to do anyway for this show. And I found out that cops started out at something called patrollers, paddy rollers. I'm going to say paddy rollers. And what that was a slave patrol. See, the origins of police and before anybody, oh, well, no, that's not entirely what this episode is dedicated to, but I think it's only right that we research and we find out whether the roots of the tree are messed up, because if the roots of the tree are messed up, then that means the branches are messed up too. So you can't just be one-sided and not do a little homework and understand what it is that you are trying to understand. Anyway, slave patrols start cops. They were first established in South Carolina, which is crazy. In South Carolina in 1704. And then that idea just translated from colony to colony to colony. And, you know, each state, of course, probably put their own touch on it. But it started out as slave patrol. And I thought that was Interesting. At least from 1704 to 1877. You know, they're related. I mean, they were boatsmen, horsemen, marksmen, but like tracking, detecting, and policing, that was their main thing. And their main thing to track, detect, and police was slaves. You know, they did their job as well as I guess they could. You know, they had something back then that they used called slave codes. And I'm just learning this stuff too. Slave codes. Like, it made me curious. Are some of these slave codes still in effect? Or are they just hidden? And are they just right there behind the surface? Is the wording differently? I don't know. I'm curious about that now. I should make that a point to come back with something else. During the Civil War, the theory of contraband prevented the return of Southern slaves who reached Union-held territory. So basically, the cops couldn't go but so far, kind of like they are now. It's just, it seems to me that nothing's changed. It's just we have more cameras now. You know, like, I had to explain to my children the other day. I asked them a question, and I had to explain to them that it's the probability, well, I'm not going to say probability because I don't really do anything, but in America nowadays, somebody could just shoot their father and say it was justified. And Abby was like, why would somebody shoot my daddy? We love you. And I just hate the fact that I have to explain that to them. I have to tell my kids the truth. I pride myself on telling my children the truth. I don't lie to my kids. So I had to explain to her that stuff like that happens to people. People miss their daddies and everything, you know, because police, like I said, if the roots are messed up, then the branches on the tree got to be messed up, right? And I think that way of policing has to be rooted in a mindset like that for these things to keep happening. You know, like it has to be not a directive, but an unspoken rule or unspoken thing that it's okay to be this way. I don't know. I don't believe in shooting anybody unarmed, but much less where, you know, you don't want to go anywhere and do anything. Anyway, the Ku Klux Klan started, you know, the cops, they started integrating with the Ku Klux Klan. And that's why the Ku Klux Klan was able to gain power, because the people that were in charge of policing slaves join forces with people that hated slaves. It was easy to infiltrate an organization where everybody looks like you. You know, that's just basic psychology. People are going to group with the people that look the most like them. So it was easy to keep the system. I'm not even going to use the word system. It was easy to keep the efforts of racism, the racist way of mind when it came to policing black. Well, not just black, policing everybody, but I mean, honestly, when black people in this country, excuse me, I didn't mean to say that word. I'm still working on getting that word out of my vocabulary. I'm going to go ahead and give that a fuck. Okay. I got some new sound effects in case anybody was knowing. I'm going to play every time I say that word in reference to who I am or people that look like me, I'm going to hit that sound effect on there. That's why the name of my channel that needs to be posted on is Negro Sports League. I think it's funny, you know. That's a play on, oh, they think all the thing Negroes are supposed to do is play sports. Anyway, that's another conversation for another day. Down in Charleston, they actually had a town watch where they implemented laws that set in motion curfews for slaves, strengthening their militia, preventing slaves from bartering goods, and establishing things. Basically, slaves couldn't trade things. We had a curfew. And we couldn't strengthen our militia. And if stuff like this happened, they just snatch them and separate them. And occasionally we would, as slaves in this country, we would develop many methods of challenging slave patrol. And occasionally fighting back. Now, throughout history, when people of African origins feel oppressed, normally what we do is we riot, we burn things. It's sad that we have to do that to get attention to an issue that shouldn't even be an issue in the first place. The American Civil War developed more opportunities for resistance against slave patrols and made it easier for enslaved people to escape. Slave patrol duty started as breaking up slave meetings. So basically, if a bunch of us got together, old back in the day, and like I said, I'm a large man, I would have went for top dollar, you know, big old large Negro out singing Negro spirituals in the field. But we couldn't congregate as a people. We couldn't congregate. We couldn't get together and speak to each other. It'd be broken up by the quote-unquote slave patrol. I think that I would reference that as loitering nowadays. Like if a bunch of us get too close together, you know, what they doing? I got to break that up. You know? That's just my opinion. Opinions expressed on this radio show are mine and mine only, and a lot of them are said in jest. I just don't mind telling the truth about things. Okay, and they would, slave patrols, back on that. Sometimes they would have other people, you know, of other colors to help, you know, like even Indians. Indians would help, would join slave patrol, but that was to keep the heat off of them for what they were going through. You know, we weren't the only people oppressed or, you know, that wasn't just us. Legislation for this. Actually, Congress, they passed an act in 1871 which prohibited state actors from violating civil rights of all citizens, in part because of law enforcement's involvement with the infamous KKK. I don't get how these – I don't understand why that took all the way to the 1960s for that to even have any effect. That took almost 100 years for that to have an effect. I don't understand like why it's so slow moving on this issue. Like this issue that we have in our country is no different now than it was then. Like I said earlier, the only thing that's different is we have cameras now. So if a cop shoots an unarmed person, notice I'm not putting a label with it, but an unarmed person, if they shoot them and it's caught on camera, it feels so normal nowadays. Every time you turn around, it's a shooting or something's going on somewhere with somebody, people killing each other. Every time you turn around, it's kind of normalized you to the violence, especially when it comes to males of African origin. And speaking of males of African origin, I would like to address something. Now, I'm not just talking to the males of African origin. I actually look up historical figures, female women, you know, women that, of African origins as well. And I did happen upon this one, and it was interesting, but I'm learning in this process as well. Queen of Sheba. Now, for some of you who are religious, you may read the Bible and know that the Queen of Sheba is a biblical figure. Like I stated before, I'm not a religious person, but I do believe there are some lessons to be learned from the Bible, but that's a subject for another day as well. She was a biblical figure that, in Sheba, she played an important role, as did all women in and were equal to men in nearly all spheres with civil, religious, and military rights and duties just like the guys. She features in Jewish, Muslim, and Christian, particularly Ethiopian Christian traditions. She was meant to, and I don't know what that A word is, so I'm not going to try to pronounce it. I didn't write that. My sources didn't come with a spell check. It is the oldest and most important of the South Arabian kingdom. So, see, even Sheba, a woman, because I know that the U.S. soccer team just won like something, so I figured why not just drop that little nugget in there. A woman, a queen who has presence in the Bible, whose hue or color resembles that of mine. Thought it was pretty neat to find that. No, I don't want to exclude anyone. I'm gonna give Queen of Sheba a hand clap. You know, it's pretty cool to go down in history of that. But see, our young women, I have something to teach my daughter now. Our young women aren't taught that. They aren't taught things like this. It's kind of sad, actually, that she's in the quote-unquote Bible and they're not taught. We're taught about to the South, getting off subject here. Once again, I want to give out that call-in number for anybody who listens, who wants to call in this Thursday. You can call in this Thursday and speak with me. I don't mind. That number will be 347-994-3320. Save that in your phone. Call into the show Thursday and chit-chat. And, you know, feel free to correct me. I'm not saying that in the course of this show that all cops are bad. I want to throw this disclaimer out there. I'm not going to say that. All I'm saying is if the roots are poisoned, then the rest of the tree is a tree that bears good fruit isn't going to just bear bad fruit one day. A tree that bears bad fruit is going to bear bad fruit. Not going to bear anything good. I give you an example. You can plant something. Treat your mind as a farm. Pretend that your mind is a farm, right? Now, in this farm, you can plant corn. You can plant a vision for something for the future. You can plant anything in this garden you want. You can also plant poison in this garden. Now, no matter what you plant, no matter what you plant, it's going to grow there. So I said all that to say this. If the roots, that the roots of the tree, the plant, what you plant in your mind is bad, then the, whatever grows from that is going to be bad as well. You can choose to ignore things like this. Anyway, state militias, back to the subject at hand, state militias, you know, would have slave owners that, you know, they start these militias because the slave owners would fear a revolution. And they don't want to hear that word, revolution word, and try to take off. Sounds like nowadays, you know, shut up and dribble type stuff, whatever. South Carolina, once again, South Carolina, the roots, right? And Virginia selected patrols from the state militias. State militias were also organized from the cadets of Southern Military Academies of the Citadel and Virginia Military Institute. Now, it is crazy that recruits that got recruited to become cops, right, came from the Citadel and Virginia Military Institute. That kind of says that these roots extend also into the military, because they weren't going and getting people of African origins to join these state patrollers. They weren't getting these. The very word patrollers, state patrol, highway patrol, wow. They had military, I'm going to get back on subject. They had Virginia Military Institute and the Citadel. They were founded to provide a military command and structure and discipline within the slave patrols that detect, encounter, and crush any organized slave meeting that might lead to a revolt. See, they go find it and stamp it out. This thing of stamping out revolts nowadays, it isn't new. We don't want you protesting. We don't, you know, like that type of thing, without going too off the deep end into it. These patrollers would punish runaway slaves, but slave owners didn't like their slaves to be beaten or broken or crippled or anything like that. So they get mad at the patrollers, so they kind of set a system of checks and balances. You know, rough them up, but they got to go to work in the morning. It's just crazy, the history of things that we don't even think about anymore. It's just crazy, the history of, like, cops. I didn't go into this thinking that the history of cops would be, like, rooted in pre-Civil War times and thinking. You know, like, I didn't think that somebody I had to come and, I was trying not to think this way, but somebody that has to come and save me, you know. You know, you don't want to think like that. You don't want to depend on somebody like that. That's why I tell us black men, hey, let's, oops, up, there's that word again. I'm trying so hard to get that out of my vocabulary. I'm going to go ahead and get that up. Yep, got to learn to take that label off of things. All right, we've been told we're so many different things. I'm trying to eliminate that label from my vocabulary. Anyway. It's just, I tell us men of African origins that we need to start speaking to each other, because nobody's going to start standing up for us. Nobody's going to protect us. Nobody's going to do for us except us. We have to talk to each other in order to do that. because even the people that are supposed to protect and serve, dang, I don't really think they're protecting and serve, you know? And that's kind of a fine line with me, that protect and serve thing. There's nothing again. Like I said, not all of them are bad. I'm not saying all of them aren't bad. I am just saying that the roots to this particular tree started off in a negative light. And until you fix that problem, it's going to stay that way. Is that fair? No. But, I mean, I get a net cast over me as far as judgment when people, you know. So I'm just calling it like I see it. I never regret telling the truth. And I'll never regret telling the truth about anything I say. All right. And I want to thank all of you for listening today. Once again, my 20 listeners last week. I did take the 30 minutes this week in hopes that, you know, I would be able to educate somebody or informate somebody. I did want to take this time to share my social media with you again. You can add me on Facebook. You can like me on Twitter, follow me on Twitter, like me on Instagram. I'm on those too. Mostly what I'll be posting is show stuff and show related stuff. Like I said, this episode will be available on my other, it's kind of like my Silly Place YouTube channel, because I want my Jeremy Speaks channel to be about wrestling. Like I stated before, I want it to be primarily about wrestling. So, like over on my Negro Sports League channel, when this radio show is over today, there will be a video dropping. It's just me goofing off, but I will post this radio show. I would like to give out that call-in number one more time, just in case you want to call in Thursday and discuss a couple of things with me. That number is 347-994-3320. And remember, if you don't take away anything else away from today's episode, if the roots of the tree are bad, so are the branches. I have been Jeremy Speaks, and I hope you enjoy the rest of your day. Oh, yes, like, share, subscribe, comment, criticize on YouTube, Jeremy Speaks and the Negro Sports League. Thank you for listening.